You were already welcomed in the precious name of our Lord, and all who are online now, they were also welcomed, and we are greeting once again with all our hearts, all our friends, our brothers and sisters from near and far. As it was said already last night, we have our brothers and sisters from the Czech Republic, from Slovakia, from Poland, from Romania, Italy, Switzerland, Austria, France, Belgium, all the neighboring countries are represented. Then we have brothers and sisters here from Botswana and from Pretoria, from various countries and areas and surroundings of Africa. Then we have greetings from Moldavia, from Russia, from the Ukraine, greetings from Denver, Colorado, greetings from Finland, greetings from Italy, greetings from Switzerland, greetings from the Philippines, just greetings from all our brothers and sisters who are joined with us in the Lord. A great privilege which God has given us in this time to hear His Word and also to believe it. And then for all the other languages, we just ask, if you have a song which you would like to sing, let it be known to us. We would like that all are coming to their right and that God comes to His right. Today, we will hear a song in the Russian language. And then we will ask Brother Florin that he comes to the front and that he once again prays with us. We are grateful that so many have come from Romania at this weekend. God has blessed richly. You precious brothers and sisters who you will sing, please come now to the front so that we can directly continue. Then you, Brother Ziegler, are coming together with Brother Florin to the front. You will translate him so that we all are blessed. Please sing us a song in our hearts. In our hearts, we'll all tune in.
Я в бессмертии иду, наступая на зло, и скорбей, и страданий дорога. На душе у меня и тепло, и светло, потому что я верую в Бога. На душе у меня и тепло, и светло, потому что я верую в Бога. Знаю я, что мне можно и что мне нельзя. Знаю, что хорошо и что плохо. Знаю, что на земле существую не зря, потому что я верую в Бога. Знаю, что на земле существую не зря, потому что я верую в Бога. Против истины войска ведет сатана, духи зла ополчились жестоко. Ждет меня впереди неземная страна, Даже если встречаю следы катастроф, исчезает из сердца тревога. Как подумаю я, что есть любящий Бог, то я счастлив, что верую в Бога. Как подумаю я, что есть любящий Бог, то я счастлив, что верую в Бога. Нет от радости слов, побеждаю я зло, мною найдена в небо дорога. На душе у меня и тепло, и светло, потому что я верую в Бога. На душе у меня и тепло, и светло, потому что я верую в Бога.
Thank you. Yes, the main thought in this song was, we are not here on this earth to only believe in God, but to believe God. To believe God. This was the main thought which was expressed. Who does not believe in God? Even the devil believes and trembles. That's how it is written in James. And the question is, who believes God? Who believes God? This is already written in the prophet Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? Please come now to the front. We stand up once again and we pray together in expectation that God blesses. Beloved Lord, we thank you for this time. You said, where two or three are gathered in my name, that you are present. We believe, God, that you are here. Your word is present. Your spirit is present. Therefore, we believe you. We want that every promise that you are fulfilling it with us now. Speak to us today. Prepare your church. You promised that whatever you started, you will also finish it. We believe it. We ask you that you may bless your man. May you anoint his lips and may your spirit speak to us. We bring you everything in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us sing, Thou art worthy. Please remain standing. I just would like to read one verse to that what was said before. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. We pray once again. Dear Lord, may the moment has come where we respect every word, that we hearken to every word, that we respond to every word, so that you are coming to your right in your church. Be with us in a special way and speak and work for the glory of your holy name. Hallelujah. And all the people said amen to it. Amen. You may be seated. We are very grateful to our God with all our hearts for His precious and holy word. To whom has the statement of our Lord something to say? If you don't believe that I am He, then you will die in your sin. To whom does this word speak today? And we could go from scripture to scripture. All are saying that about God's word, what they like to say. We are not saying anything about the word. We leave God's word, we let God's word directly speak to us. Also, this is a vast difference whether one gives an explanation about God's word or whether through the word is addressed directly. And this may God give it to us, all of us, but in particular, all our ministering brethren, that we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and of the plan of God. To us, it doesn't bother what Jannes and Jambres did. To us, it doesn't bother today when they at that time claimed that the dead rose already. All the various winds of doctrine which were at that time, they left us in peace. We are concerned with that, what is happening now, and we, because of the word of God, we have to fight for the truth, and we have to go hand in hand with the truth, and we just have to let God's word count. For instance, from the last 4 weeks of Brother Branham, from November and of the beginning of December, I brought with me, I read 10 sermons, I brought them with me, the last ones which he preached. And as he speaks there of the coming of the Lord and of the things which are of significance for us today. And then the question, how do Branham followers come to the point, How do they come to the point to claim that the Lord has come already? Revelation 10 is already passed behind us. If one hears all these things, then one cannot be silent. But God's word as the last authority has to be put upon the lampstand. And because we have a true Israelite in our midst, a brother from the 12 tribes of Israel, where is he? Please, let him stand up now. Do we have this brother from Romania who is a genuine Jew? There is our brother. A genuine Jew, Israelite, in whom is no guile. And do you know what happened to him? He wanted to immigrate to Israel. And of course, he had to fill out forms. And he was not allowed to immigrate because he is a believer. Yes, all the Jews, they may return home. Those who believe, they can remain here. And this shows us very clearly what Paul has written. The New Testament church consists of Jews, of Greeks, of all nations. And we are just so grateful. God bless you. This is biblical. Remain here. May the 144,000, may they immigrate there, and all the others also. Remain here. God has placed everything wonderfully. Brothers and sisters, this book shows us the divine order of the plan of salvation up into the last and littlest details. Then last night, we spoke about the return of the Lord. And to this, let me once again, just briefly, read a couple of scriptures. Also, I would like once again to come back to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I ask God that He blesses the translators in particular. As we said last night, some words which are written in our Bibles are not in the other languages. For instance, return, and there is always written only coming. And may God give grace that our brothers, who are now translating into 12 different languages, that they always find the right word under the anointing and inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pass on the true word as it was left to us here. In 2 Peter, in chapter 3, we have in verse 2, 3 and 4 the following said to us. 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now comes the hint. What will happen before the return of Jesus Christ? Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lusts, And now comes the question in verse 4, and saying, asking the question, where is the promise of his return? Where is it? He has given the promise. I go to prepare a place for you. I come again to take you unto myself. Where is this promise? Whoever knows a bit in literature, he knows the scoffers by name. About no religion, about no religious founder is so written negatively as about our Lord and Savior. What is not being said about any other book, and this I say openly now, I read much, nothing is being questioned what is written in the Quran or in other books. No man dares to put a question mark behind it. But if it comes to our Lord and to the Word of God, then one question mark after the other. And therefore, let me say it here, brothers and sisters, it is a direct gift of God when we can believe God, when we can believe as the Scripture has said it. This is, in this time, a great, great gift of our God. The question now, where is the promise of his return? They also know to say, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And then the apostle comes to the matter of the point. After he has written what the unbelievers will say and what their arguments would be, then in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Should a scoffer come across you, then point him to this scripture. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He will fulfill it. At the right time, he will fulfill it. He is never too late. And just imagine now. Just imagine the Lord would have come in 1963 already. Where would you be? Where would we be? How many were born after 63? And have heard the message and have come to the true faith, being added to the bride church. We are still living in the time of grace, and it's still valid. The full gospel is still valid. The wonderful message of the cross and of the crucified one. Of course, the return of Jesus Christ, of our Lord, is the main thing in our proclamation. Why? I've said it last night already. More than 4,000 times, Brother Branham used the word message. So important was to him the commission which God has given to him on the 11th of June 1933. at around 14 hours in the afternoon, in the Ohio River, he was standing, praying, as I baptize with water, may you baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And in the next moment, he hears the call, look up. And the second time, look up, and behold, the supernatural light, visible for all who were present, visible. And out of this supernatural light, the voice, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. So serious as Brother Branham had to take this commission, so serious I have to carry out this commission in the name of the Lord, to carry this divine message, the Holy Word, with all the promises which God has given us therein, to bring it to the whole world, so that the end can come. Because that's how it is also written in Matthew 24, verse 14, the gospel shall be preached unto all nations for a witness, and then the end shall come. Not a gospel, but the everlasting, the original gospel, with everything what pertains to the kingdom of God, with all the promises which God has given in His Word by His grace. Now, concerning the return of Jesus Christ, beloved brothers and sisters, it has to be said now very, very clearly. Whoever spiritualizes the return of Jesus Christ is possessed with the Antichrist spirit. And with on purpose, I brought with me the Bible from which Brother Branham was preaching. And I read it to you, what is written in his Bible, not only in my Bible, in our Bibles, no, but what is written in the Bible of Scofield, which he was reading, what is written here in the second epistle of John, in verse 7. I read it in English. Most people understand it.
Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Now der gleiche Text.
Now the same text is written in the German translation, 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Just say amen loudly. One can say it very loudly. And here all fun stops. And fun we never have in the proclamation. But only the holy seriousness of the Word of God. And if we have to say today with great pain in our hearts that the heresies, the false doctrines within the message, they just took over And all are referring to Brother Branham, but no one refers to the Holy Scripture, that the Bible is being closed, and this just hurts. At this place, and this may all hear it worldwide and see it, we appreciate what God has done in our time. We thank God for the fulfillment of the promise. Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. We thank our Lord who said in Matthew 17, verse 11, he confirmed it there. Verily I say unto you, Elijah truly shall come and restore all things. We appreciate what is written in Mark 9, verse 12. Truly, Elijah cometh first and shall restore all things. What is it about within the message? About new doctrines? No! About the restoration of all that what was from the very beginning. The true doctrine, everything as it was at the beginning, so it has to be at the end by His grace. And then we come to the very sad point, because they didn't believe the truth. Therefore, God sent them strong delusion. Whoever does not believe the truth of the Word of God, and especially in reference to the return of Jesus Christ, which is described in all the details, whoever goes over it, to him God cannot help. God has to let him run. And there we have the point, brothers and sisters, that all who are born of God, they are hearing the Word of God. No interpretation, but the Word of God in the original. And they believe the promise which the Lord has given unto us. And they believe that God really has restored all things and will restore all things. Let us be honest. We, of course, are looking back to a certain period of time in which God was leading us from clarity to clarity, from truth to truth, always leading deeper and deeper into the counsel of our God. Just think of last night. Also there, just to know, there it is written in the plural of the days, and then it's written in the singular, on that day. Now just be honest. To whom did it stand out up until today? And we can go from scripture to scripture. The things have to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And so we thank the faithful God who has led us until today and who will continue to guide us. Is not the word valid for us, to me, which Paul has written to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3? I want to present Christ a chaste virgin. Let us read it from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I'm jealous over you. Paul was not indifferent. He wanted that by his proclamation, the bride, the virgins are really presented and prepared for the Lord. What shall we say today? As we are living in the midst of what is written in Matthew 25, at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." I dare to claim that now it is more important than then, but today it is even more important to pay attention that no strange doctrines, that no mixing is taking place among the people of God, but that we are separated, purified, and that we are a true possession of our Lord, sons and daughters of God. Whoever reads in the four Gospels, he will find out that our Lord, in one Gospel, he said, "Go and tell my disciples that I go before them to Galilee." And in the other Gospel, it says, "Go and tell my brothers that I go before them to Galilee." The true disciples are his brothers. He, the firstborn from the dead, he, the Son of God, and we, sons and daughters of God, with whom he had fellowship after his resurrection. We said it here time and again, brothers and sisters. We said it. After the resurrection, no unbeliever has seen our Lord. Only his disciples. Only the two Marys who went in the morning to the empty tomb and who experienced the earthquake. All the believers, they have seen the Lord. 500 brothers at once. That's how it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But no unbeliever has seen the Lord after his resurrection or heard. Today, it's the same. Today, the Lord speaks to his own, to his brothers, to his people, to his sons and daughters of God. They're seeing, they're hearing, and they are experiencing that what God is doing in this time. And let me say this here in this connection. Whoever is born of God hears not only the words of God, but has the grace to get the word revealed by the Holy Spirit. There's no time for any own opinion. And in that moment, where the word of God becomes a revelation, who wants to take it away from you? Who? What God has given you, this you have forever. And therefore, we are just so grateful that we got it laid into our hearts to only believe what the Scripture says. And strange enough, I write it now in the new circular letter. Dear Brother Branham, someday he just made one single statement, which probably would have been better in a different way. But this one single statement, for instance, Brother Branham, he said, it's a difference between the appearing and between the coming of Christ. Instead, just reading a bit on, or just hearing a bit on what he said also. And I write it now in the circular letter. The most difficult statements to understand, just a couple of minutes later, are illuminated and clarified by those statements which are understood clearly. And then one sees the connection. Let me show it to you from the Holy Scripture. Here we have in 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, we have the two words, the two expressions appearing and kingdom. Two different things. Here we have it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing. This is the one thing. That's what we are waiting for. At his appearing. The second is, and at his kingdom. The one thing, his return, when he will appear to take us home, and the other thing announces the kingdom, millennium. Where is the problem here? One has to just place the Holy Scripture divinely, namely, as it is properly before the Lord. The return of our Lord is one thing. And 7 years later, the millennium will start. Namely, his kingdom. But both was written down already. And that, let us say it openly, freely. Also the apostles, they just hang it into the air. They didn't say it in detail. The one thing is happening this way, and the other one will happen then and then. And brothers, sisters, if I tell you that God, not a man, also not Brother Branham, although I am the most grateful man which is living on the earth, the most grateful man on earth, I'm grateful for his ministry of Brother Branham. And this stand, I let no man take from me on the earth. And I tell you also why. Because the ministry is connected with the ministry which God has given him directly. It has to be continued. It's always God who has a continuation also in our time. But as we said, take our Lord, just go to Matthew 24. There, pray that your flight is not in winter time or doesn't fall on the Sabbath day. And then our Lord comes to the various periods of time. One time it was fulfilled at 70 after Christ. Everything in the same chapter, everything in the same breath. And now it is important that we place it there where it actually belongs. To us it couldn't have referred to. On the one end of the earth is summer, and on the other place is winter. And even the Sabbath will be celebrated again in the millennium. But what I wanted to say, brothers and sisters, it's that what my heart is touched. My heart is really touched and moved with gratefulness that we in this time are having the grace. Every word of God, whether it's in the Gospels, whether it's in the Apostles, whether it's in the book of Revelation, in the 22 chapters, that we just got the insight into the whole counsel of our God, that we received it in such a way as never on the earth before. And let us say it freely and openly, Brother Branham, in his unfailable prophetic ministry, and this I say, before the Almighty God, such a ministry no prophet had ever, and no apostle. A ministry which only remembered to the ministry of our Lord when he walked this earth. And he could say, the Son can do nothing, but what he sees the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. John 5, verse 19 and 20. And then we see what is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in chapter 4, and onward, how our Lord had the prophetic ministry, and he saw what should happen. And he could say to Nathanael, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. And he cried out, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. A true believer has recognized the sign of the Messiah. And when Brother Branham, on the 7th of May, 1946, at around 23 hours, he was told as how his ministry would take place and how he would take with his left hand the right hand of the patient and turning around the hand so that the surface of his left hand is visible. And to him was told, when this person has a tumor, a cancer, a sickness, then it will become visible on your hand. Hundreds and thousands have experienced it, 1946, 47, 48, up to the midst of 49. They witnessed it, and I saw it myself, especially the couple Gordon Lindsay and Frieda Lindsay, who were sitting on the platform, and they were seeing it, not only in one meeting, but in many meetings, God has given instruction. The same God who has said to Moses, two signs will be given unto you. The one sign with your hand, put it into your bosom, and it will be full of leprosy, and take it out of your bosom. Yes, full of leprosy. And put it in again. Yes, and put it out again. And it was as the skin of a baby. Everything in one moment. The one in the... Why? The man of God needed a visible confirmation that God is with him. All the people can say, the Lord is with me, are making music, the Lord is with me. This is not enough. True prophets have a true commission, and God confirms his word. How often did I hear it in a full week, 1955? How often did I hear it and witness it in 1958, where the same gift was at work, in operation, and Brother Branham was standing there helpless like any other man, and suddenly the supernatural working of God was here. It was not William Branham. It was the Lord God who did the same in our time. For what? To draw our attention to that what as the message would come. And also about this we will have to speak, about the kernel of the message. In the next meetings, we are coming to some very important points which we cannot touch today. But be it the subject of the Godhead, of the baptism, of the Lord's Supper, all the biblical subjects, they have to be proclaimed biblically, and this up into the most little detail. Here, in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, it's then written, in verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, and out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Here we have two things. To some we are coming in season, and to the other one we are coming out of season. All who are hearing to the voice of God are waiting to hear the words of God. And all who are entangled in strange doctrine, to them we are coming with a true proclamation out of season. No. Even we who carry the true word, they are warned of us. In verse 3 we read, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We find it precious. Precious. The sound true doctrine of the Holy Scripture. But the others, they don't want to hear it. And then it's written, after their own lusts, they shall heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. We have not our ears firstly, but we have opened our hearts firstly. When the man believes, then he believes with his heart. And God doesn't speak to the heads, God speaks to the hearts. And revelation comes not into the heads by knowledge. Revelation comes by the Holy Spirit into the heart of man. And then it can happen that Isaiah 8 verse 16 comes to fulfillment. Seal your word in your disciples. Then it can happen that the revealed word is sealed as sure as it was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. But now, in verse 4, we find out that Paul says the very same thing which Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 16. I read 2 Timothy 4 verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Exactly that is written in 2 Peter 1 verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the word of God and the return of Jesus Christ preaching unto you. To be honest now, I'm not reading many books. Everything what I read is history or church history. I never read any storybook. I wouldn't know why. I have enough time to read the Bible. But to be honest now, whoever is of God, he has no desire at all to believe an interpretation or to follow any interpretation or any fable. And then it's not only in the churches. They had their time. Now we have to pay attention to that, what is happening within the end time message. And there may God give grace to our brothers and to me, all who preach the word, may give the grace to only preach the word and everything else leaving up to God. We have lent our hearts and ears to the truth. We didn't turn away from the truth to be turned unto fables. No. First one had to turn away from the truth to believe the fables. And one has to turn away from all fables to receive God's word as the truth and to get it revealed and to be sanctified in the word of truth. Paul writes on to his co-worker in verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Of course, with a true proclamation are heavy afflictions connected. I say this out of pain. All brothers worldwide, regardless what kind of fables they are believing amongst themselves and are going their own ways, but if it is against Brother Frank, then they are all one. Doesn't matter what they believe or what they teach. Doesn't matter at all. If it is then coming to the point, then there's only one left. There's only one left. Yes, and you also. Not only I, but all the Lord has given to us. All the true children of God are spared, are being kept before any error and are sanctified in the word of truth. Once again, verse 5, but thou endure afflictions. Be sober in all things. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Also directed to you, brothers, not all were Paul. There was Timothy, there was Titus. There were the various brothers who had part in the same proclamation. And as the admonition was spoken out here,
so soll sie heute auch an euch alle als dienende Brüder.
It shall be spoken out to all the brothers, to all brothers in all languages. Take your stand for God and for the truth. The hour is here. And then it says here, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And then comes, once again, of the appearing of our Lord to show us that it is connected with his return. Verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We can really give the praise and glory to our Lord, because the Holy Spirit has led us into all the truth. 17 from 2 Timothy 4, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The proclamation of the word brings suffering, brings persecution, brings misunderstanding. But I say it with laughing. It will be worth it. It will be worth it to carry out the commission without taking regard. But the preaching, this you all noticed, the preaching has happened always in love, always in love. Up to this day, over my lips, not a single name of a brother came which I would have rebuked, not a single time. In over 12,000 sermons, I don't even dream about it. But if it is about the truth, then there is no compromise. Then no names have to be mentioned. Then the thing is named. And then all can differentiate and distinguish. And all can make their personal decision. Let us read the word also, the precious word from James, which speaks of the return of Jesus Christ very clearly. What do the other translations say here? What is written in all the Bibles in James 5, in verse 7? With us it says, I read it. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the return of the Lord, appearing, arrival. The Lord promised it. He went. He prepared the place. And he will come again. Be patient, therefore, brethren, whether it's written coming, whether it's written or arrival or appearing, don't worry. We all know what is meant with it. And then it says on, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until it receive the early and latter rain. We can go to the prophet Joel. We can go to Zechariah. We can read in prophet Daniel what is written about early and latter rain in the Word of God. Let me just read it briefly from Joel, chapter 2 in the German Bible. Joel, chapter 2. Here we have a text about which Brother Branham preached very much. He liked to use it. The first sermon in Karlsruhe in Germany had this text in Joel, chapter 2, from verse 15, and then onward. And also in Zurich, the text from the prophet Joel. Let us read Joel 2. From verse 23, Joel, chapter 2, from verse 23. Or perhaps 23, yes. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month. And when this happens, then 24 comes to fulfillment. And that's what we are waiting for. That's what we are waiting for by faith and in confidence. When this happens, be it former or later, what God sends brings blessing. Verse 24, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Yes. If you look into church history, and if you look to Israel, everything was lost. And then God says, I will restore. Let us read verse 26 in Joel 2. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Yes. This text for Brother Branham, it had a tremendous significance in connection with the last message of the restoration, that God will restore all things as it was at the beginning. And so we have it here. So we read it here. When this happens, then everything will flow over. And we, as the people of God, we will never be ashamed again. Forever. Because that, what God will do at the end, and let us say it freely and openly, can we delay it even more? Or do we have to put our hand onto our hand? Unto our heart. And are seeing, we are seeing based upon the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, we are seeing that the return of Jesus Christ is really very, very near. And therefore, we have to be violently in the kingdom of God and saying, Lord, we are children of promise. We are standing upon the word of promise and we ask you, fulfill it. Make an end to our spiritual lack. Because teaching is not enough. John brought the teaching. John brought the message. But at that time he announced already, I baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And whoever then goes to the New Testament, to the first sermon, Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to confirm the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God should call. Has God called you? You have heard the call of God. Of course, not the call of a prophet, but the call of God. Ye, my people. This no prophet could say. This only the Lord can say. Ye, my people. Just as written in Exodus, let my people go. let my people go. Ye, my people, come out, be separate. And in Revelation 18, 3 and 4, we have the direct answer from heaven. John heard the voice. Today, you have to hear it. Today, I have to hear it. Ye, my people, come out. Be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, so that you don't partake of her sins. This is the kernel of the divine message in our time. Coming out of everything what is not in line with God and His Word. Whoever reads in Amos 3, right at the beginning, he will see what is written there. How can two walk together unless they agree? How can two walk together unless there was a meeting, unless there was an agreement? Since when could Enoch walk with God? When the Lord God revealed himself to him. And when he could give the mighty prophecy, I've seen that the Lord cometh in the midst of 10,000s of saints. You can read it in Jude, in the New Testament. Brothers and sisters, let me say it confidently. Today we are walking with God. Perhaps somebody might think, oh, this is highly made. Not at all. Not at all. As all the prophets at their time, according to the will and word of God, were connected with God and we're serving him in obedience and faith. So I dare to say that we today, the more we have to work, have to follow the Lord in faith and obedience. Let us be serious. Perhaps you are looking to yourself, perhaps you're looking to others. If you would read what sometimes happened to the greatest man of God, and nothing and against, and again nothing. Nothing could change what God said before. No mistake could change anything. And my question is, has God stopped the commission to Noah when he drank one time too much and when he was lying there naked? It just showed that he was a man like all the others. The commission of God remained. With this, we don't say to anyone that he shall make mistakes, but we say to all, we are saying to all who have made a mistake, that Jesus Christ is our faithful high priest. And we say to all that the blood of the lamb is still on the mercy seat. And if it is being said that the lamb has left the mercy seat, you all know this is also being taught. Just to take the book and to loose, to open the seven seals, not to make an end to the time of grace. The time of grace remains until we come from believing unto seeing. Just think of the greatest man of God, Abraham, who was afraid of his life. And he called his wife to be his sister because he thought that it would be now his turn. Did God change anything? Not at all. In Matthew 1 verse 1, it is still written, son of Abraham, son of David. And I say it once again, Please, let it not be misunderstood here. What was with David? No man on earth happened what happened to David. Murderer, adulterer, and all kinds of things. And unto Revelation, the last chapter, Jesus Christ is called as the Son of David. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which there is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But, and this, let it be said here, there was not one deviation of the word of God. Earthly, natural things have happened, yes, but spiritually, the connection remained with God by word and by spirit. Let us summarize what we tried to say here today. The return of Jesus Christ will be as it is written, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, who we are alive and who we remain, will be changed. And together with them, we will meet the Lord in the air. Everything will find fulfillment. Especially what Paul has written in 1 Corinthians 15. The mortal will put on immortality. And then is the word fulfilled. Death is swallowed up into victory. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Leave it to God what He will do. You have no problems with it at all. He has taken the responsibility for it. The responsibility he has to wake up all those who died in Christ. Where is the problem? With you or with me? He will return. He will give the shout and the command. And then the dead will rise. Where is our problem? In the same way, our bodies. You can read it, especially in Romans chapter 8, how time and again it speaks of the manifestation of the sons of God. And in connection with it, the translation of our body from mortality into immortality. All who teach differently, as the scripture teaches it in all the details, they are really being misled. You all know. You all have the Holy Scripture in your heart and at home. But please read Romans chapter 8 and read from verse 19 up to verse 30, and just read all the other scriptures. And I tell you in the summary, I say the once again the following. We are ordained in this time to not only believe in God, but to believe God. The word of God, to believe it. And as we said at the beginning, if you don't believe that I am He, this our Lord said, then you will die in your sin. All who don't believe now that the Lord, that it is the Lord and was the Lord and will be the Lord, who brings His word and promises to fulfillment, they will die in the sin of unbelief. Unbelief, this one could really say, unbelief is the deadly sin. Who are we that we could not believe God? That we don't want to believe God? Who are we? God has taken the responsibility for everything. Please, let us believe the Lord. Don't look anymore onto your natural condition. We all are going through trials. Be it in marriage, be it in family, at work, in the old age, whatever may come, we are all going through trials. Will this change anything on the promises of God? Has not our Lord said, I am with you all the days until the end of the world? And brothers and sisters, please receive it in your heart. When God has given us the grace, He quickened our faith to all the promises which are yes and amen. Should He then not watch over it to fulfill it in us? He is watching over His word, and His word is true. And let us say it once again. Children of promise, believe the word of promise and are receiving the spirit of promise. The nicest and the best is yet to come. God, whatever we read in Joel and at other places, what we could read at other places, He will do everything. No promise will remain unfulfilled. Everything will happen that the way as God has said it in His word. Please receive it by faith. God, in this time, He has given us the privilege to believe Him, to believe His word, and to believe what He is doing right now and are having part in it. And He will lead us until the end, and He will give us the grace to partake in that what He has promised unto us. This He will also do. The return of Jesus Christ is very near. The calling out is taking place. And all of us, we have come to this point, and the Lord will continue to walk with us until we come from believing unto seeing. To Him, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor and the glory. Amen. We stand up. I don't know whether the baptism was announced, but in this case, the baptism pool is not looking very nice. When all this area here was hit by a heavy thunderstorm, perhaps the next time, let us sing the chorus, Just As I Am.
Wir remain in prayer, and I really would like that we all take it seriously. God will not leave us alone at halfway. He who started, He will also finish unto the day of Jesus Christ. When the Lord will appear to take His own home. We have the promise, and we believe that God is faithful. He keeps his word. And that he makes us faithful. Yes, always faithful to Jesus. Always faithful to him, as a German song goes.
Möge Gott die Treue zu ihm, die Treue zum Wort, die Treue zu den Verheißungen.
May God reward the faithfulness toward him.
So fest hineinlegen.
May he lay it into us so deeply. May he make it
unseres geistlichen Menschen machen.
A portion of our spiritual man. That's how we looked at it many times. What is written in the epistle to the Corinthians. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. It is foolishness to him. But unto us, it was revealed by the Holy Spirit, by his grace. This is not being puffed up. This is gratefulness, that we in this confused time, where everything is going upside down, only lying and deception is going on in mankind, in politics, in religion, all over the earth is being found. God has sent a last message before the coming of the day of the Lord. And also this, brothers and sisters, also this we should memorize. The Bible doesn't say that the Lord will come for us as a thief. The Bible says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Please read the Holy Scripture precisely and believe as it is written. Many things could be still said. Our God is a faithful God. And all you who believe that we are hearing the last message, the last divine message, and that God restores all things and that he leads everything back to its original. If you can believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the Lord God, may he bless in the most farthest countries of the earth, up to the Fiji Islands, to Port Moresby, or wherever it might be, that the Lord may call out his people, and all who are ordained to see the glory of God, they will not confer with flesh and blood, but they will hear the last call, and they will come out. They are being separated, and purified, and washed to be ready for the return of our beloved Lord. Together we want to pray now. Before we do that, I would like to ask whether there are special petitions in our midst. Please raise your hand. And if you can believe, then the word applies to you. Oh, that you canst believe. You would see the miracles, as a German song goes. We believe that the Lord saves, that he delivers, that he heals, that he gives revelation, that he blesses. We believe that he is the same in every way, and we are expecting that he manifests himself as the same. The key to it is, of course, in the promise.
Remain in Jerusalem until ye are endued with the power from on high, and then ye shall be my witnesses. The church at the beginning was endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. As while Peter preached, the Spirit of God was at work. And the same we are expecting today. While the preaching goes on, the Spirit of God shall be at work in all who can believe with all their hearts. Say amen to it. Because we believe. We believe with all our hearts. Brother Schmidt, please come once again and pray with us with a loud voice as possible. Great God, we say thanks unto you for the grace and faithfulness, for the word of truth which you have left unto us. And we recognize that besides your word, there is nothing, but nothing. But you alone, who you are the word, you revealed yourself and you revealed it to your people. We thank you, God of heaven, that you are still the same. Today, you are on the throne of grace. You didn't leave it yet. You, of course, you have taken the book and you open it. And we thank you for the opening of all the mysteries which you in our time have revealed to us. And we can recognize as never before we recognize your prophets, and to us you granted it, that we can recognize it. Lord of heaven, give grace in all things, that we give glory and honor to your name, for you are worthy to receive the adoration and the praise and the glory. I cannot find the words to express it, Lord. But thanks be to you. Thanks be to you that we can live in this time where you are revealing your wonderful word, where you revealed your name, that you pointed to the things which are of significance today. Be it the spirit baptism, be it the water baptism, you revealed everything. Lord, give us grace that we are obeying what you are teaching us. Thanks be to you. Amen. We all made the decision before the Lord to only believe Him, only to believe what the Scripture says, nothing else, to receive nothing else, and to be sanctified in the word of truth. And we are in the great expectation that the Lord God confirms His word through a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then everything will flow over. Everything will flow over. And the Lord said already at that time that He will bless in such a way. He will bless in such a way beyond our asking and understanding. And to me came the thought today, in all the charismatic meetings, there the praise and worship is exercised and practiced. I knew people who were exercising this praise and worship. Exercising and practicing and practicing. So that a certain atmosphere was created. But I am convinced today we don't have to practice anything. We just simply have to open our hearts and our mouths and thanking Him. Tell me one denomination, tell me one church, tell me one fellowship, tell me one evangelist, one charismatic,
with whom God would have dealt in our time and would have given a commission. Our God knew what he is doing. He has sent his servant and prophet at the end of the day of salvation, before the day of the Lord, the great and terrible day, breaks forth. Let us today thank God for it, that we can live in this time now, and that he has spoken to us, and by his word he revealed his will to us. We ask now Brother Didier, Brother Gilbert, and Brother Kupfer to come to the front to pray with us. And today, I don't mind whether they are praying loud or we are praying loud. Today we all pray. Today we all thank God. Praise and thanks. Hallelujah. Just translate him. Our beloved Lord, we thank you with all our heart because you have given us the grace to believe the pure truth. Apostolic prophetic word. You have taught us that we recognize how near the coming of the Lord is. We believe that all your promises are yes and amen. And we thank you for the promise, for you will fulfill it. And we believe that you will restore all things. You promised it, and you will also carry it out. You have taught us in clarity. You didn't speak to us in parables, but you spoke to us in the truth. And we thank you what you have said unto us today. We believe that we received your word in all clarity. We thank you with all our hearts for it. We thank you for all the admonitions. All over the earth, you have said it. We thank you for it, Lord. You will have a church without spot or wrinkle. This is the bride church of Jesus Christ, a word bride, as he himself is the word. We thank you that you filled our hearts with your word. We thank you for this perfection. All the glory be to you. Give each one of us that we receive this correction. We have. We thank you, O God, you have be highly praised in the name of Jesus Christ. We have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Let us sing the chorus, Lord, give me the power, Lord, speak to me. And then Brother Kupfer will thank. Now a short prayer. Highly praised and highly blessed be our God in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Today is a wonderful day because the Lord has guided us until this hour and He spoke to us. He has opened our hearts. I thank you, faithful Lord, with all my heart, for the seriousness of your holy word. Although it is an admonition, but it had to be like this, because you are a God of light, and we are your children. We have grasped it. We have all the longing, and we only want to please you, only pleasing you, for you have spoken to us. You made us aware what is and what will be, all your promises. We praise you. Last night we heard already. We understood everything of parousia, of your coming. Everything was revealed. May this word be deeply sealed in all of us for the glory of your name of Jesus. May the Lord bless us. And may we be a blessing for many souls which have not yet recognized your word. Be merciful to us, Lord. I thank you for the blessing. I thank you for your love and for your faithfulness. Lord, we are all tuned in with one another. Highly praised and highly blessed be your wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord asks us, did you understand all things? Did you understand everything properly? What He told us? Then say Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Is somebody here who didn't understand it yet? Then we want to remember you in this prayer. God opens the understanding in as much as we believe. And also there, the Lord has His time, especially for all those who are newly added, to them these scriptures are probably new for some, but so much we understood from the Word of God that the return of Jesus Christ is not a process which goes on for many years, but in one moment it will happen. The time which we have now is of course before His return, to let the last call go forth. And about this, we also spoke about it today. I say it once again. My wish, my longing is that everybody, that really everyone understands every word and everything what was said, that he understands it rightly, in the right way. And that not one single discussion needs to be done. About God's word, is not discussed about. God's word is revealed. And whoever gets got the word revealed doesn't discuss anymore. And whoever discusses still has not yet received revelation. So, the Lord, the Almighty God, may He be with us. Really, may He be with all of us. Brother Tati, where is Brother Tati?
Where are you, Brother Tati? Just come a little closer.
Come a bit closer. Brother Tati and myself, God willing, we will make a trip to African countries, to Senegal, to Mali, to the Ivory Coast. And this Brother Tati, he's probably the best translator from the English into the French language. And we would like to ask that you remember us in your prayers. And to say it honestly now, the proclamation in the English language, it's more easy for me than in the German language, because it's not so complicated at all. It's very simple in the English. In simplicity, one can say many things. Yes.
We want you to know that everybody is praying for us. Yes. And ich bin dankbar für unser,
I'm grateful for our brother who accompanied me on many, many journeys. And to thousands of people, he became a blessing.
That God has used you to translate in so many meetings to many thousands upon thousands. God bless you and be with you, son.
Once again we sing
den Chorus, du bist
the chorus,
würdig,
du bist thou art worthy, thou art worthy. And all the people said, we give you greetings to the Czech Republic, to Poland, to Slovakia, Italy, Romania, Switzerland, Austria, France, Belgium, to Pretoria, to Botswana, wherever you might be, the Lord God bless you. May all who are connected online, may all be blessed in the name of the Lord. Shall we sing, Blessed be the tie, blessed be the tie.
Nächstes Mal kennen, singen wir es einmal. Wir sagen nochmals Amen. Amen.
We say once again, Amen. The grace of the Lord be with you until we meet again. Amen.
Haben wir nach Rumänien Grüße auch bestellt? Ja, nicht? Ja, danke schön.